Now tonight we're looking at the perseverance of the saints. It's part of the doctrines of grace. And before we look at it, we need to explain what it isn't. Now, Arminians preach that they have free will, and by an act of free will, they invite the Lord into their hearts. And they hold on tenaciously to the fact that they have free will. And yet a lot of them also preach what they term once saved, always saved. And we do not preach that. You see, they are quite happy to get rid of their free will when it comes to preserving them in their salvation. But they cling on to it so as to play a part in their salvation. And if we accept that Arminian concept of once saved, always saved, it means you can live as you like. You know, you don't have to show any fruit, yet you remain saved. Now, in fairness, there are many Arminians, quite a huge number of them, in fact, who deny the security of the believer that he is eternally secured in his salvation. And they base their denial on the belief that as, on their belief, that our salvation is conditional, well then, enduring must also be conditional. And this is a more logical conclusion than the Arminians who preach once saved, always saved. Because scripture, and there are many scriptures, that insist the believer must persevere in his salvation. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4 to 6 points to that. We'll come to that in a minute. But there are many other verses that seem to indicate that one may lose one's salvation. But this one is the clearest. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4 to 6 reads, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." Now this seems to be a very clear black and white statement pointing to the fact that it is possible for us to lose our salvation. That is, if we stop at verse 6. But we go on to verse 9, and verse 9 reads, "Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation." So, though he is exhorting them to fight the good fight, and he's pointing out that without perseverance, there is no salvation, he is not saying that this applies to the genuine believer. Now, perseverance of the saints means exactly that. And there are many, many verses to prove this. We must persevere to the end. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 reads, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." if you hold fast the word I preach to you. So it's necessary for us to believe and hold fast right to the end. And Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Again, if we hold fast. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ was faithful as the Son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And 1 Colossians 1:22-23. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And the afford again, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. That's not the moral. Matthew 24:12-13. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And Matthew 10:23. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. And Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, perseverance of the saints means that. And the Armenians that teach once saved, always saved, as a result of decision of salvation that they have taken part in, as they see it, are mixing up, perseverance of the saints with preservation. And both apply, particularly to the genuine believer. The genuine believer has to persevere, but this perseverance is made possible by the grace of God. There are many who apparently fall away. Many who appear to be Christians. I'm sure each and everybody in this room know it, one or two, or who are convinced are Christians. Yes, they've torn their back on it. They've gone astray. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us in order that it might be made manifest that they all are not truly of us. Now the Bible is very clear that not all who profess to be Christians are in fact Christians. And not all who profess to be Christians will persevere to the end. Let's look at Matthew 7. We're reading from verse 21-22. Not everyone, this is the Lord himself speaking. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? What then will I profess unto them? I never knew you. Depart from ye, ye workers of iniquity. So, they thought they knew God. They had a profession of salvation. But God didn't know then. And Matthew chapter 13. We're reading from verse 1 to 23. This is a long read. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him, hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But to whoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even what he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. Yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. But because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word, and understandeth, which also beareth fruit, and bring forth fruit, some 100, and some 60, some 30-fold. Now, he spoke in parables. And those who could understand it were his genuine disciples, those who were following him. And the others couldn't understand it, not that they wouldn't, they couldn't understand it. Now, elsewhere in Scripture, we hear the Lord himself speaking, and he's talking about being the good shepherd. And he says, I know my sheep. And they know me. And they listen to my voice. The only reason that we hear and react to the word is by the grace of God. want to go to chapter 19 of Matthew. And we're reading from verse 17 to 26. And he said unto him, this is the rich man, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. For if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed and astounded, and I would say terrified, because they reacted perfectly naturally with their understanding. Well then, how can anybody be saved? And the only way anybody can be saved is by the grace of God. This is where we come to preservation. We're looking up in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. But, and I must say this first. The Israelites were God's chosen people. But God didn't love every Israelite head for head. He loved his elect within that nation. Isaiah 54:10 tells us, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And Jeremiah chapter 32:40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. He will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. Philippians 1, verse 46. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who started a good work in us, he will complete that good work. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you true and true. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Who will do it? The Lord will do it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-17. But we ought also always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings he passed on to you. whether by word of mouth or by letter, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us, and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Now, if God has ordained us and predestined us, it's not just to salvation, because he has also predestined us to justification, adoption, and sanctification. Therefore, the elect in no way can lose their salvation. But if we were to depend for our perseverance in the faith on our own strength, then we would be lost. Because, just speaking for myself, I know that without God's grace, I wouldn't persevere for 24 hours. And that's the truth of it. If I was to depend on myself, or if anybody in this room was to depend on themselves for their perseverance and their salvation, then they're lost. We can only depend on nobody other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy of the Father. John 14:16-17 reads, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." This is what keeps us persevering. It's the Spirit of God within us that guides us and directs us and teaches us and sustains us right up to the day of glory. John 17, verse 9, 12 and 20. And this is the Lord himself praying. "I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, and those who will believe in him through the message is us. Us that are sitting in this room, and many, many like us throughout the world. They are the others he is praying for." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. "He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." God is faithful, and he will sustain us, and he will keep us blameless until we reach glory. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And this is an important verse to remember, because there are so many temptations in the world on a daily, hourly basis, and so many opportunities to sin. And we say to ourselves, well, we're going to be presented blameless before. How can we avoid sin? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Mm-hmm. Now I can look back over my Christian life and I can see moments when I sinned. And I can see too where there were interruptions, where I could have used that not to sin. And I ignored them. Willfully ignored them. You see, in our unsaved state, we can blame Satan for our sins. Because we're like the boys on a bowling ball. You know, we lean all the time in our unsaved state towards evil doings. But now that we are saved, we have the capacity not to sin. I'm not saying we can live a sinless life. We can't. But we have the capacity not to sin. And when we sin, we can blame nobody but ourselves. And it's vital to keep short accounts with God when we do sin. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And John chapter 10, verse 25 to 30. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I tell you, but you do not believe, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and I follow them. I give them eternal life. It's past tense. You know, we have eternal life. Later on, it's written, these things I write to you so that you may know you have eternal life. We have it because it is a gift. We have it because we've been able to persevere through the preservation of God in our lives. And for no other reason. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25-28. Therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all. When He offered Himself, for the law appoints as high priests men who are weak. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is how our salvation is assured. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 to 14. And by that will we have been made holy, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, because by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now it's not those who are becoming holy, which is subjective. It's those who are being made holy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And we'll end on this, and this is something to be discussed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author of our faith and the finishing of our faith. If we go through life and we keep Jesus in mind all the time, and if we recognize the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves, but as a gift of God, and that our very perseverance in our struggle to live as righteous a life as we can, that perseverance comes from the preservation